Hello and welcome to Giant Splash, the San Francisco Chronicle's podcast on the San Francisco Giants and Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Chronicle Giants beat writer Susan Slusser, and I'm joined today by my very old friend, Andrew Bailey, who, Andrew, I believe I've known you since you were a minor leaguer in the A's system. And of course, now going into your second year as the Giants pitching coach. Look how far you've come.
Yeah, look how far we've both come. It's been a blessing to be in the game this long and to know you for such a long time, and you know, really looking forward to this new path here we got together, and really fun to be able to work with you again.
Yeah, that's, you know what, I do have to tell a story which I think you've heard before, but the spring you were in big league camp. I think you were one of the guys that there's always one or two guys that the reporters just never really get around to talking to. And he just kept sticking. And finally, we were all kind of like, do we need to talk to this Andrew Bailey guy? It was like the very last week of spring training. And then you wound up being the rookie of the year that year. So we were really on it.
It's just, you know, it's just amazing how times have kind of changed. And you know, we talked before this call about competition, and you know, I think that's the where the game is, and it doesn't matter, you know, what part of the career you're in. Like, production is always key, and for me, you know, having the opportunity to go to big league camp, and unfortunately, you know, for our organization, we had some injuries at spring training, and that kind of always happens. But you know, I just, every time I took the mound, it was an opportunity to kind of show what I can do, and to be in an organization, you know, like the Athletics for such a long time, and the respect I have for Billy and the group over there, and Kurt and Bob Guerin and all those guys that I had. It was just an honor to be a part of that. And they gave me the opportunity to pitch at the major league level. So that always kind of, you know, look back at that, and without that organization at that moment in time, I really don't know if I would ever have had that opportunity.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I this is probably true of most coaches and managers of the game, but you also are in the position where you really understand where guys in this camp are coming from, and it's a huge camp. You know, I think you guys have 72 guys in camp. I think there are 22 non-roster pitchers, something like that, to go along with the pitchers on your, you know, 40-man roster. How is that, you know, you obviously have a ton of coaches there, but at the same time, this is an enormous number of pitchers. How are you finding that, trying to, like, see everybody, work with everybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think from a seeing everybody perspective, you know, Kai Correa has done an unbelievable job of scheduling, you know, making sure that, you know, all the eyes that need to see our guys are able to on a daily basis. And so, you know, that's been an amazing, you know, kind of just, he's been so strong to be able to put that together. And then from like a camp perspective, yeah, I mean, I think like it's a unique season last year. Going into this year, we'll have our own set of challenges. You know, but pitching wins championships. I mean, bar none, and we know that for sure. And making sure that with the, you know, limited amount of innings last year, there's a lot of uncertainty moving forward. You know, minor league camp, you know, starting later. So just making sure we have arms that, you know, can help us win ball games at the major league level is going to be really important. And then looking for guys to separate themselves from the pack is what we're looking for, and competition is healthy, and competition is good, and it creates a strong environment and camaraderie, you know, especially at our camp. And you know, I'm hoping that in time, you know, maybe with the quality of arms that we're seeing, like, this is a destination for guys who, you know, hopefully want to improve, or you know, our front office does a great job of looking at a variety of different things. And Brian Bannister, our director of pitching, has done an amazing job of, you know, kind of, you know, speaking his voice on how we can help certain guys, or maybe point out certain things that they've done in the past, and kind of reharness that. So it's been awesome to learn and work with them, and, you know, seeing all the guys out there. And as we get into our third game here against the Dodgers tonight, and, you know, really looking forward to a strong competition all spring long.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Now let's start with a rotation because I don't know, maybe a month ago I might have said like, well, it looks like it's kind of maybe there are probably five guys for five spots. And since then you've added some really interesting names. There are obviously a couple new guys who are in the rotation pretty firmly with DeSclafani and Wood. Aaron Sanchez signing recently. We have yet to see him. I assume that he's been throwing some bullpens for you. Scott Kazmir sort of out of nowhere comes back in the game on a non-roster invite. You guys have wound up with some really interesting people, it seems like. How do you see things in the rotation in general with what you have and what you have returning, and then some of the new guys?
Absolutely. I mean, I think like I said, the front office did an awesome job. Having these guys come aboard. There's a lot of excitement in our clubhouse, and it seems like there may be a rotation spot or so up in the air, and some flexibility and versatility built in there as well. And like I said at the beginning, depth is going to be key. It's a 162 game schedule. That's a lot longer than 60 game sprint. And we're very optimistic we'll be competitive there at the end and be making a push for the playoffs. And with some of the names that we've signed, and the untapped kind of potential, or they're again like kind of honing in on some different things that made these guys really productive at the peak of their careers, and with Sanchi especially coming off the injury, like I'm really excited about that for sure. And you got guys like Logan Webb that are fighting for the spot, and Woody and Descofani and Gausman, Cueto, every it's just so cool to have everybody in our rotation hungry, right? Like there's that's a unique, kind of perspective, and really brings the guys together, and competition is healthy, and it's going to be fun to watch and see how that unfolds.
What do you think Giants fans can expect from some of the new guys like DeSclafani and Wood? What are you seeing from them that you like?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Woody, left-handed, has a unique look to him. One of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball just a few years ago. Has battled some injury things over the last couple of years and has done some kind of revamping of the mechanics, and coming off a World Series win, he's a competitor, and he's fierce. They don't want to give up the ball is with what we want, and so I'm really looking forward to getting him out there and miss bats and be very productive with us. Obviously, Desclafani, down year last year, which is very well documented, and just looking to kind of reshape some things in his arsenal that made him a productive, right-handed major league starter in years past, especially as late as 2019. So really awesome group of guys with that come here. They signed here because the opportunity that is here, and ultimately like they want to get better, and we preach development at the major league level, and these guys are the kind of poster childs for that. Just like Gausman was last year, and Smiley. So really looking forward to help them become who they want to be as major league pitchers, and watch them compete, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Where is Sanchez with his bullpens? Is he a guy who is you guys have been and had Gabe Kapler's been pretty clear that some of your starters are probably going to be appearing in games a little bit later. You guys are taking a little bit more slowly with them, especially with a short season last year and a long season this year. Where is Sanchez with his bullpen?
So Sanchez threw another bullpen yesterday. We'll be getting him into live BPs here shortly, and folded into games here very soon, and that's kind of the plan. And with him signing late, he did a great job of taking care of himself during the rehab process last year, and kind of accumulated some innings, and some he was very, very headstrong, productive during that time. And getting into a normal off season was huge for him this past year, kind of stepping up. But we just kind of wanted to give him a breath to kind of get acclimated in the organization, get a couple bullpens under his belt, work on a few things, and then we'll kind of let the leash off here soon with some live BPs, and hopefully in the games, and he'll be ready to go. He's feeling great, and really excited to see him compete, because this guy is a absolute freak athlete, and just very exciting to watch.
Yeah. Well, where do you see Logan Webb if he winds up not in the rotation? Is he a guy who could be a swing kind of guy, a spot starter, give you some length out of the bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, I think the opportunities are endless with Logan, or the versatility. Obviously, traditionally a starter, he had a little bit of bullpen experience last year. That decision is yet to be seen, and there's a lot of things that can happen between now and then. And maybe there's some creativity in the rotation early on. I don't know what that looks like. I just think that Logan is very, very versatile. He had an amazing offseason. At that Push Performance down here in Scottsdale, working out, and then also coming into the facility here and there, and working with our trainers, and really created a strong foundation for him to build on as a young starter at the major league level. And last year there was some bumps in the road, and he'd readily admit that. And we had a great offseason, just kind of communicating, talking, and really just kind of having him understand who he is as a major league pitcher. So I'm really excited for a strong, 2021 for Logan Webb.
Scott Kazmir is obviously fascinating. The Giants are kind of getting, as you alluded to, this reputation as a good landing spot for guys who are looking for a little bit of a bounce back, maybe kind of rejuvenate things. Scott hasn't pitched in the major leagues for a couple of years, took a couple of years off for personal reasons. He's 37, but he does kind of fit a lot of the Giants' profiles, especially in that he's a former Ray and A.
Absolutely.
And he's already been through one comeback, which is actually kind of fascinating that he's going through the process again. So, what did you think of him? We saw a little bit of his first bullpen session the other day, but what did you think of him? And just the whole idea that he's trying to make this comeback.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's inspiring. We connect on a lot of levels. We actually never crossed paths, in our careers, which is kind of crazy. But I'm really looking forward to getting to know him as a person. We have kids the same age. I'm 36, he's 37. There's a lot of similarities there. And for a guy that, has gone through some injuries, taken some time off, I kind of resonate with that. So I think we're able to connect there. And for him to be able to have that option of a guy who has done it at the major league level, who is willing to kind of, maybe adapt and kind of understand some of the nuances of today's game, I think is really inspiring for younger guys. And he's all in, he's embracing it. Again, like, we're letting him get his feet wet in, on the sides, and we'll get him here in the live soon and into games. And just a really good sign for our, veteran presence, a guy that our younger guys can talk to, and then ultimately competing for a job on the major league team. And that's what you want. And he's, like you said, like, looking to revamp himself a little bit, but it's the same Scott Kazmir, very similar arsenal. And we're just gonna, attack a few things here and there.
We'll be back with more with Giants pitching coach Andrew Bailey in just a moment. But first, a reminder, you can find all our San Francisco Giants coverage at sfchronicle.com. And to subscribe, go to sfchronicle.com/pod. The bullpen. Jake McGee, obviously the probably the biggest name, the biggest addition, and as Gabe Kapler has mentioned, probably a candidate to close at least sometimes. I'm not sure if you guys are going with a definitive one closer, a la you back in the day, or if it's going to be a little bit more of a flexible situation. But how has Jake looked, and what does he bring? I think people are probably pretty familiar with him from the division.
Yeah, I mean, Jake brings a veteran experience, especially, deep into playoffs as late as recent as last year. And, he knows his strengths, and that's what we really want our guys to know, is especially in the reliever role and starter role for that matter. But, have an identity. If you look around the game at the best relievers in baseball, like, you know what they're going to do day in and day out, from at least a usage standpoint, or how they're going to attack right-handed hitters, or how they're going to attack left-handed hitters. Jake knows himself really well. He knows where he needs to be, and just gives us that stable left-handed presence down there late in ball games. So I think there'll be some flexibility with roles. Don't really think we're going to probably go with a absolute closer mentality, as we did last year. I think, that's the beauty of having such a unique bullpen, is that we want a lot of guys that are able to match up in different parts of the lineup and pitch in high leverage situations. And whether that be sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning is yet to be seen. And, But yeah, he's absolutely in the mix there for the back end.
Now, you also made the addition of another interesting guy, Matt Whistler, who was non-tendered. He's fascinating. You talk about a guy who knows his strengths. Wow. You know, he's got a great slider, and he throws it as much as, sometimes even more than 80% of the time. What are your thoughts on a guy kind of relying on one pitch that much? Are there pluses, minuses, and how good is that pitch? Can he vary just that pitch?
So like with Wiss, like you talk about knowing your strengths. I think, McGee was like 95% fastballs last year, and that's totally cool, right? Like, and Whistler, 83% sliders. Like, that's where the game is. And know your strengths, know what you're really good at. It's our job and Cap's job to match them up, and put them in the best positions to succeed, day in and day out. We'll definitely, we'll never put these guys, I shouldn't say never, but we don't want to put those guys, in the game for a position to fail, obviously, or have a bad matchup. So having unique perspectives like that is huge. And, Whistler having the transformation last year into a slider monster, for lack of a better term, is such a great development point. And, really where the game is going, two guys at one super fastball heavy with a strength from the left-handed side, very slider heavy with Whistler from the right-handed side. And, guys take note of that. And when you have an outlier pitch and you can do something really well and that is so unique to you, like, we need to leverage that at all costs. And I think it's awesome that Whistler was able to embrace that and really have a career-changing year last year.
Now, there are a lot of really interesting names in the bullpen, too, vying for spots. One of them is your Rule 5 draftee, Daniel Nunez, and he looked really, really good in his outing and surprised yesterday. What stood out to you about Nunez?
Honestly, what stands out to me on Nunez is his heartbeat. The moment hasn't been too big for him, albeit, like, just the first game last year. But, just the way he carries himself and, the way he – functions in live BPs, his presence when we have a meeting or a sit down, his understanding of his current situation, the transition from starter to reliever, the embracement of that, just the whole package is really, really awesome. I'm really excited to get him back out there. He performed really well yesterday. Obviously the velo's there, the slider's there, and it's just getting him comfortable into a reliever's type of mindset. Historically, he's been a strike thrower, which, trumps almost everything. And, so it's just a really unique package. I'm really excited to get him back out there. And, he's got some swaggy confidence too, which is absolutely fits in with this today's day and age.
Yeah, that's absolutely for sure. And we've seen a lot of guys throwing pretty hard out of that bullpen. Yeah. Kirvin Castro, Sam Long, who's another fascinating story. What are you seeing from guys like that?
Yeah. So Sam's story is a testament to, just somebody who took advantage of no minor league season last year. Sam is one of those guys that put his head down, did the work he needed to do to separate himself from the pack. And, it's inspiring because, he got after it up in Sacramento and at home, and he took advantage of the downtime and put the work in to, harness his shapes, understand his body, the way it moves, what's he need. And we were fortunate enough to sign him and give him an opportunity and really looking forward to getting him back out there. Obviously impressed that first game and just the conversations I had with him during the off season, the videos, he shared with me of the work that he was putting in terms of, working out at his facility back at home. And the questions he asked, he's so poised for such a young guy, inexperience wise, not pitching above high A. And it's an exciting arm for sure. And really looking forward to getting him out there and can be, left-handed depth option and someone who's on the cusp of the big leagues. And, that's an exciting story for sure. Kirvin Castro, barely has, I think he's got like 80 minor league innings in and, throwing, 96, 97 up there and just attacks the strike zone relentlessly with a big curveball, understands his plan of attack, very confident. Again, like that's just, it's like 95 plus is just kind of a dime a dozen now. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to see. And especially these young kids with this opportunity at Major League Camp and to make a team and impact the Giants organization.
That's awesome. I don't want to make you go through everybody individually, but there's one more guy I want to ask about, because another really interesting guy who had a down season last year, and I know nobody really actually knows necessarily how to evaluate last season, and in this case, probably even a little more difficult, because it's Shun Yamaguchi, first year pitching in the United States with Toronto. Results not great, but, you know, going through summer, the pandemic, summer camp, et cetera, and all doing it all in a foreign country. I mean, I think you just throw last year out the window. What are you seeing from him? What do you like about him?
Yeah, so he threw live BP yesterday. What I really like about him is his willingness to want to communicate. You know, obviously, last season, first year in the United States, pandemic, COVID restrictions, like, such an outlier year from a lot of different areas. You know, and we've talked, like, you know, there's a lot of analytics in the game, and sometimes some guys can kind of get focused on that. And maybe there was a little bit of cloudiness there, you know, with him and making an adjustment, helping him understand what he does really well and how the, how Major League Baseball may, you know, be slightly different than, you know, the MPB or Japanese League, or, you know, how there's some different differences there and the slight different nuances. So, you know, looking at some usage or, you know, just plan of attack, both first-handedness hitters, is something that we're working on. And he's an exciting arm. I mean, he's a, he doesn't have much, obviously, experience at, in the United States at the major league level, but he's also a kind of a more veteran presence as well with his time over in Japan. So he absolutely knows what he needs to do to perform, and really excited to give him the opportunity as well.
Yeah, it's just absolutely fascinating. And another former A's reliever, Ryan Cook, texted me when the Giants signed Shun and said, "One of my favorite teammates all time, played with him in Japan. I love that guy. Team leader, big personality." That's, you always love hearing stuff like that. And,
For sure. For sure. And, you know, for our organization, it's important that, we support, you know, all of our players, whether, you know, we have, you know, Taiwanese, you know, Dominican, Venezuelan, Japanese, like, so one of our efforts is to make sure that they feel comfortable with all the information and, you know, anything that is presented to a, you know, American or, you know, English speaker needs to be presented in their language as well. So our quality control group is doing a phenomenal job of, you know, getting their information into their native language as best we can, and making sure that they feel supported in that nature. That way they're a little bit more comfortable with us and they can go execute what they need to do on the mound.
Yeah, that's one of the other things I really wanted to ask you about real quickly. Some of the information now that you guys use, some of the emphasis, you know, there's, for a while it was, everything was about spin rate and things like that, launch angles when Rap Soto and TrackMan all started. Now, the last maybe year or so, I hear so much about, you know, pitch mix and kind of tailoring pitch mixes for guys, pitch shapes, things like that. This year, this spring, everyone seems to be talking about change-ups in Giants camp. It seems like a pitch that you guys are really emphasizing. What would you say? I mean, obviously, things have changed so much just in the time you've been in the game, which is, you're not that
For sure.
old.
No.
But where are things from kind of like, you know, areas of emphasis? And like there can almost be too much information, but it seems like you guys are really kind of focusing on some of those things. What kind of jumps out to you with what you're really sort of using now in terms of information for making people better?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's slightly nuanced, just because, you know, there's things that Rap Soto gives you, there's things that TrackMan gives you, there's things that Hawkeye gives you. And from a movement profile standpoint, those are kind of the three big things that, you know, most every organization uses. And, you know, with us and our group here, our pitching department, we just want our guys to more or less, everyone is slightly different. You know, people come from different backgrounds, people come from different organizations. Other teams value other things. And at a baseline, a foundational level, we just want our guys to understand what they do really well. So if there's a, you know, if a guy needs to worry about spin axis, we just are aware about that, and we help him, you know, try and, you know, repeat that desired spin axis. If it's a vertical movement concept, like we just kind of want to get the guys and create a goalpost or a lane for someone to stay in. And, you know, same thing with all the metrics, spin rates, you know, blah, blah, all that stuff. And sometimes it's a usage standpoint, or sometimes it's, you know, throwing more fastballs. Sometimes it's throwing less fastballs. Sometimes it's throwing more sliders, or, you know, leveraging, you know, the coin flip kind of idea, 50-50. So it's just, there's just a lot of things. Each guy is their own individual from a movement standpoint, a usage standpoint, you know, weight room standpoint, arm care. So just trying to package and make sure each department is able to support that person's need is kind of how we try and operate. And we don't try and bucket our guys into, you know, a one trick pony, and everybody's unique, personality wise, arsenal wise, competitive wise. And you just want to capture that and help them from an analytics standpoint, movement data, just understand what they do well as a baseline.
Yeah. I have always loved changeups. Nothing is better than when a hitter looks absolutely silly on a changeup. Are you guys emphasizing it more, or is it just that we're hearing about it more this spring? What's going on with this sort of changeup emphasis that we're hearing about?
I just think a lot of guys have really good ones. Okay. You know, it could be a strength of a lot of guys, and some guys don't have quality changeups, and we want to maybe leverage another pitch a little bit more. So again, I think it's just a little bit nuanced to who the personnel is. You know, I think if you look at like Kevin Gossman, changeup splitter, like leveraging that a bit more, and some focused intent at a different location really changes career. You know, Johnny Cueto's changeup is a phenomenal changeup that, you know, gets a lot of weak contact and swing and miss. So, yeah, I think it depends on the arsenal of the pitcher. And yeah, I mean, maybe changeups kind of got out of the limelight for several years with velo and shapes, so to speak, you know, taking the forefront. And, you know, valuing a quality changeup is as old as baseball, and it's something that we definitely don't want to get away from if our guys have quality ones.
Yeah, I keep hearing, you know, that it, maybe a changeup might play better at Oracle Park. Like maybe that's a great pitch for Oracle Park, but I'm not quite sure why that would be park specific. You know, that's.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely a nice park to throw in. I mean, you know, it's like the Coliseum at night. You know, just throw a fastball down the middle and let it fly. You know, and but it's a big park. It's great. It's a great pitcher's park, and yeah, I mean. I don't know the if a changeup actually plays better in Oracle. Not really sure on that.
Yeah, it's weird. Hey, if the ball is more dead this year, as there have been suggestions of, that combined with a, you know, night in the Bay Area and a big park, could be pretty deadly for some hitters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, hopefully we have more flags blowing in this year. That'd be great.
You have two guys coming back from Tommy John, John Brebbia and Tyler Beatty, of course.
Yeah.
Where are they? What's kind of the hope for when you guys might be seeing them in an in-game competition?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the sooner the better. But we want to be sensitive to following a process that puts them in the best position to succeed and be healthy, not only for 2021, but the longevity of their career. And you know, they're both doing great. Brebbia threw his first full bullpen yesterday. You know, he had been doing short boxes, little touch and feels, going through his catch progression. So he's doing really, really well, really, really good. Tyler Beatty also, you know, doing some up down bullpens and just following the course of that, and, you know, just staying in communication with medical on you know, their progress and what needs to be done next, and just following the necessary steps. So I don't really feel comfortable staying a time frame, just because there's a lot of variance that can happen. Sometimes they go faster, sometimes they go slower, but they're both in a great spot right now and really making each progressive step.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen more of Beatty than just about any pitcher this spring. He seems like he's thrown a lot of bullpens, and you know, I'm sure that's nothing but encouraging, which is great.
Yeah.
So
he's feeling good. Yep.
Yeah, that's great. Final question. Obviously, Buster Posey's back. How much difference does that make? You know, obviously, you know, it makes a difference offensively. But for your pitching staff, just having Buster back there, and a guy like Kurt Casale, who's new but obviously experienced and understands a backup catcher role.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, having potential Hall of Fame catcher is never a bad thing. Having the leadership component, the trust from the pitching staff, is so big, so valuable. And Buster's just intuitive intuitiveness behind the plate is such a unique talent that you can't teach. And those are the things that I'm really excited about watching Buster do. Is he knows. From a pitch calling standpoint, he's right on par, and there's trends in the game that we'll continue to communicate with and talk to him and share information with him and really rely on his instincts and things behind the plate, because in today's day and age and in today's game, you really don't have that. And him and Molina are probably the last two, I would guess. And then having a guy like Kirk Casale, who comes from such a quality organization from a pitching side with the Cincinnati Reds, understanding pitch mixes and goals and locations. It's such a creative balance. And the conversations that have been happening are just outstanding. And Craig Albernaz, our catching coach / bullpen coach, is elite and a game changer. And the whole group as a whole, I mean, I think if you look at how Chadwick Trump performed last year from a receiving perspective, is just unbelievable. Of course, you got Joey Bart, Patrick Bailey in camp. So the whole catching group is, and Gino, the whole catching group is a very, very strong, is a strong point of our organization, not only for 2021, but for years to come.
Yeah, for sure. I'm impressed by that. And I think everybody likes seeing Buster Posey back in a Giants uniform and on the field. That's great. Well, Andrew Bailey, thanks so much for taking time away from. I think I've just done the tally. I think you've got 41 pitchers in camp, so I know you need to get back to them all. Yeah. Even though there's a night game, I'm sure you're working hard already. Thanks for joining us on Giant Splash.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Susan.
Thanks again to Giants pitching coach Andrew Bailey for joining us on Giant Splash. Our producers today were G. Allen Johnson and King Kaufman. We will be back again next week with more Giant Splash. Thanks so much for listening.